A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Throws. Trout strikes out swinging. Ohtani and Japan celebrate a World Baseball Classic championship.
That's all you're going to give us, Dr. Joe Davis? That's it? Baseball won last night, and you give us that? Hell, you didn't even give us, perhaps, a biased pro-American, this is ridiculous, outraged call. Unsurprising, because that is Dodger Joe Davis. Look, this is not a pro-Dodger Joe Davis Fox Sports program, the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. We are a pro-Japanese baseball radio program. So I feel like after last night, a baseball game that I went into wanting to love and came out of loving very much, that we give you people who actually cared about the World Baseball Classic on the call after Japan took down the U.S. last night.
Full count. Otani ka Trout ka.
Joe Davis, you could learn a thing or two from that. That's the call on TV Asahi. Gotta say, fantastic call, and props to Japan for finally, and I know a lot of people don't want to talk about this, getting revenge for Tom Cruise being the last samurai, which is very problematic for a lot of people. But I think we all have to say that Japan was due for this. And I know they've won three World Baseball Classics already, and that they have perhaps taken the proverbial torch away from the United States, which, based off of Dodger Joe Davis, might not even care that much about baseball. U.S., we got to wake up as a country, as a nation, to get this sport back on its feet. But let's talk about the real coolest thing last night. You cannot debate this any longer, and I know we're all Astros fans, and this guy is on the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, of California, of the United States, sort of. I know some people don't really want him there, of North America, formerly of Pangaea, of planet Earth and the solar system. Whatever. You get it. We all got to admit that Shohei Ohtani's the coolest mother bleeper alive in baseball. He was so damn cool in every element along the way of this World Baseball Classic, but specifically last night. We all know that he is pretty damn impressive as a pitcher. And over this World Baseball Classic, he goes over 9 2/3 innings, 1.86 ERA. He has 11 strikeouts, 2 wins, 1 save. And I got to say, that at-bat against Mike Trout, it delivered. Did not make Mike Trout look good. More on Mike Trout later. But Shohei Ohtani starts off that at-bat after throwing to Trey Turner and Mookie Betts at 100 miles per hour. He throws 102 miles per hour. And then he throws one of the filthiest sliders you're ever going to see, which was borderline 100 miles per hour. And Trout never stood a chance that entire at-bat. That's what's most impressive about Ohtani there. And we all know he's a great hitter. Everyone knows the guy's got incredible power over this World Baseball Classic. Four doubles, a home run, eight runs batted in, nine runs, a stolen base, a .606 on-base percentage. Holy crap, a .739 slugging percentage. This guy is the coolest. There is no debating. This is Ken Griffey Jr. level cool from Shohei Ohtani. Sean Mapes, do you have a thought?
It's like raise the difficulty on the video game. Insane numbers.
Yes!
He hit 400 and also had a 1.86 ERA.
And let's be honest, there are some crap teams in the World Baseball Classic, which certainly helped the U.S. get to the final. I know someone made a joke that the U.S. got to play like Antarctica to get here. That's a bit of hyperbole. But when you talk about raising your level, he raised his level against Mike Trout, and that's what's so cool about it. I mean, he knew this was the final boss. But this was something straight out of, I don't know, a Clint Eastwood movie? It's the showdown at the very end. You're not feeling good about Clint Eastwood for whatever reason. But all of a sudden, they just zoom in on Clint Eastwood with a deadpan and a growl. And the next thing you know, he's just killed like 15 people. And you're like, yep, I should have seen that coming. I should have seen that coming with Shohei Ohtani. He embarrassed Mike Trout. He stuffed him in a locker. And it was so bleeping cool. Hell, I think even Mike Trout would probably admit that was a really cool moment. Even though he struck out.
That's why Mike Trout isn't built for this.
He's not.
He let America down.
He's not. We're going to get to Mike Trout eventually. Okay. I wanted to start off the show positive. Hell, Shohei Ohtani's even fast. Did you see the infield single he had? Some nerd online posted how fast he was going. And apparently, this is borderline elite speed on this infield single. I don't even know what the hell that means. But here's the actual statistic. On that infield single into the shift, an 114-mile-per-hour exit velocity. Holy crap. 29.9-foot-per-second sprint speed. 30 is considered elite. I mean, you could have done miles per hour. It would have made a lot more sense. Hell, even kilometers per hour. But whatever that means, he's fast, dude. This is crazy. He's so good. So, let's talk about another tweet that happened last night, and it came from a guy who used to work here in Houston. And I think he was messing around a little bit. He is more of a national baseball writer these days. Jose De Jesus Ortiz tweeted this. Shohei Ohtani is going to look great in an Astros uniform next year. Guys. And look, I'm not the most financially responsible person. I buy things I can't afford all the time. Is it the reason that I'm in pretty bad credit card debt? Possibly. But guys, I mean, you're going to talk me off of this one? I want Shohei Ohtani so badly right now. And look, if Ohtani pulls a LeBron and a Durant, isn't that going to save baseball? Isn't that going to bring interest in the sport back on a level that perhaps it hasn't had? Shohei Ohtani would become ultimate super heel. But he would still be cool to the point that some people would probably even root for him. He's leaving the Angels, who stink. He's already said, yeah, I'm not really sure about the direction of this organization. Could you get this guy here? Is it possible? Is there a way? And I know some of you are going to say it's not smart. I agree. This would be really dumb. Tom Hicks even said this about the Alex Rodriguez contract. I think it was that 30 for 30 about the New York Yankees with Derek Jeter, where when they talk about the trade for A-Rod, the Rangers were pretty sure that they were not going to pay A-Rod for the entirety of that contract, to the point where A-Rod is actually still receiving deferred payments from the Rangers from that contract that he signed, 20-plus years ago, to go to Texas from Seattle. So, thinking about that for a moment, not good, not smart, but, I mean, you don't want to have this guy on the team? Would you really say hell no, especially after what you saw last night? Hell, I mean, Shohei Ohtani even sounds like he's a good leader. I don't know if anyone would understand in the Astros clubhouse what he's saying. You'd probably need a translator. But he even delivered a great speech, by all accounts. This is Shohei Ohtani last night before the game against the United States, where he basically said, look, we got a lot of respect for the United States, but you got to turn that off right now. It's winning time.
まあ、憧れるのをやめましょう。まあ、ファーストにゴールドシュミットがいたりとか、センター見たらマイク・トラウトがいるし、外野にムーキー・ベッツがいたりとか、まあ、野球やってれば誰しもがこう聞いたことあるような選手たちがやっぱりいると思うんですけど、今日一日だけはやっぱ憧れてしまったらね、やっぱ超えられないんで、
Let's go.
僕らは今日超えるためにやっぱトップになるために来たんで、今日一日だけは、彼らへの憧れを捨てて勝つことだけ考えていきましょう。最後、
I think Sayo means let's go. I could be wrong on that. Houston is an international city. Did Houston not lose its bleep with a very large Asian population when Yao Ming came to town? Huh? Like, there's a way this could work. You got to help me figure out the way it could work, because I realize this would be a stupid purchase. So help me figure it out. We're going to roast Mike Trout at some point over the course of the show. I will talk about my date also, because guys, the World Baseball Classic chose me last night. I'll explain why next. It's the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The baseball world won tonight. Although those guys are disappointed in there, I couldn't be prouder of them. The way they came together as a team, from getting together 2.5 weeks ago, all the things that happened along the way, tough games, easy games, whatever it was, they truly started to bond and enjoy being around each other.
That's Mark DeRosa, the manager of the United States in the World Baseball Classic. Yeah, baseball won. Yeah, Japan won. The United States lost. Should Mark DeRosa be fired immediately? I'm so proud of my guys. You lost. That is so anti-American. So anti-American. Yes, the sport won. There were lots of great moments last night. And by the way, has it not gotten a tad insufferable? The amount of people that are like, this was one of the best moments in sports. We get it. Yes, we know. We watched. Anyone who watched enjoyed it. Anyone who didn't is probably going to be stubborn about it. But we get it. It was a great moment for baseball. Like, calm down. Okay, just calm down. We agree, but stop.
Is being the Team USA coach like you have to talk like you're Kevin Costner in Field of Dreams?
I guess so, Sean.
You just have to like be the most syrupy romantic. Yeah, because there's a couple more DeRosa clips that we'll get to later that it's just like,
I know.
It's like from a movie.
I know.
How he's talking.
It really is. And by the way, they lost. They lost. Okay? Like,
yeah, he should be doing like a Phil Jackson press or a Bill Belichick, like just mumbling into a microphone press conference.
Right.
He shouldn't be showing respect to his opponent. Blah.
Yeah. Screw the respect thing. Where's Herb Brooks when you need him? Make these guys run laps after the game. Suicides. Blue line to blue line. Or was it red line to red line? I forget. Whatever the case. Come on. Where is the accountability here? Where are the standards? Japanese baseball has lapped us. Japanese baseball players swing baseball bats a lot cooler than we do. I had a take last night. Someone should start an academy here in the United States. I bet some people would pay a bleep ton of money to go there. They use Aikido to swing their bats. I read some article about how perhaps being descended from samurai swordsmen has helped Japanese batters. I don't know if that's problematic or not. It sounds cool. It really sounds cool. Some other comments on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Some people are asking for subtitles. Yeah, we do play a lot of audio that is in another language, but that's because we're international. We are Houston, right? The most diverse city in the United States. To the last segment, we did talk about how do we get Shohei Ohtani to Houston. And a text, 832, I wouldn't mind the Astros signing Ohtani and a couple of Japan pitchers. They were legit. They're fine with pitching, but Ohtani is what intrigues me. Could you get him here? There's probably a way. This would be insane, but 1 year, $100 million to Shohei Ohtani. And you defer a lot of money. Because look, if you sign Ohtani to a long-term contract, you're not going to be able to keep this Astros core intact. I'm smart enough to realize that. Tom Hicks found that out the hard way when he signed A-Rod to that ridiculous deal. The Rangers couldn't sign any pitching, and A-Rod was like, oh, well, I guess I don't want to be here. So he almost got traded to Boston. He eventually got traded to the Yankees. But 1 year, $100 million? Baseball would melt down in a good way. Like, that would be great for baseball to have, once again, the Astros, who are perhaps less of a heel than they have been, having won the second World Series, because now everyone is begrudgingly accepting them. Imagine if they added Shohei Ohtani. Everyone would lose their minds. I kind of am here for that energy, that pissed off, crying energy from the rest of the United States of America when it comes to this team. Couple of comments on the Twitch. People didn't want to hear my baseball take. I come in here, Sean, with a passionate take about baseball, about how much I loved the World Baseball Classic last night. I'm not even being sarcastic. I'm not even having fun. I legitimately enjoyed last night, but people don't even want to hear me talk about baseball right now. Nope. I honestly think that this is an indictment on this stick-to-sports audience that, when they're being honest with themselves, enjoys it a lot more when I go off the rails.
Yes, the very rare earnest baseball Paul segment. There's a cloud that loomed over it for most of the listening audience. They want to know, Paul, how was your date last night?
You're right.
Because you set it up yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You scheduled a date before you fell in love with the WBC yesterday.
Correct.
Sunday. And now they want to know how that dilemma got resolved.
Let me read a couple of comments from the 346. How was the date? From the 281. But how did the date go, Paul? Coog Blaze, Paul is avoiding us. Who Dab King? Paul looks tired. I wonder why. Another, does Paulie have post relations glow? E315, Paul, did he leave here? Did he leave stuff in this other person's bed? Like, wow, you guys are assuming very, very good things about me on a first date. Doesn't look like Paul slept at home. Congrats. Did he wear that shirt yesterday? I'm about to disappoint all of you. So guess what happened? After the show, I sent the date a message. Hey, we still on for 7:30? Radio silence. And I'm like, are you serious? Am I about to get ghosted again? I wait. 7:30 passes and I'm like, okay, this is fine. I'm still at home. Everything's okay. Send her a nice message. I'm like, oh man, left me unseen. Ball's in your court if you ever want to do this again. I get a response right afterwards. Wait! !! Sorry! !! Forgot to press send. Paul! Do I believe that? Do I believe that? That sounds like a terrible excuse. Am I wrong?
But
that is a terrible excuse.
It is a terrible excuse, which makes me kind of think it's real. Because if you were to come up with an excuse, you'd come up with one better than that.
That's what I thought. A lot of work today. Something bad happened. My dog has AIDS. Like, something else.
Yeah, a normal thing, yeah.
Right. My dog ate my grandparents. Wait. She was like, grandparent dies? Dog eats homework. Like, those are the general reasons to not do something. So, I'm not mad. Not mad about it. Things happen. Ball is in her court. She wants to come play Paul. Ball? It's open. Open invitation. But we're on. We are on to a date tonight. We are on, and there's no distractions this time around.
I was going
to
say, no
totally different person. Totally different person. No distractions. No World Baseball Classic to catch my eye.
Wow, so this, other than USA losing, basically the perfect outcome for you.
Yeah, it was, because I got to watch the World Baseball Classic, didn't go on the date. This person, I think, feels bad about not going on the date with me. I mean, I didn't win, like a lot of you wanted, but is this not a moral loss or a moral victory?
It's a moral victory.
Moral victory.
It's a moral victory.
It's a loss that's a moral victory.
Moral victory Monday on the Paul Gallant Show.
Anyway, it's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call into text. And hey, I will always be honest with you guys. I know some people are like, oh, I don't believe you. Nope, that is 100% the truth. I will tell you everything that goes on in my personal life. We're going to bring more of that back into the show. I get it. Maybe some of you don't want to hear about it, but I am a train wreck of a human at age 33. My mother says my options are dwindling. I got back on the apps. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. I don't think we have time to roast Mike Trout in the remainder of this segment, but I feel like we should all give ourselves a pat on the back because I think for the most part, Twitter behaved last night. U.S. versus Japan. Look, I don't think there's a lot of older folks on Twitter. I know that most people have had grandparents that fought in World War II. Some fought in the Pacific Theater. Things got real gritty in the Pacific Theater. I encourage you to watch The Pacific if you want a real feel for just how bleeped up stuff was over there. Obviously, World War II ended with nuclear bombings of Japan. It's the worst thing that's probably ever happened in world history. It's a shame. It's a shame that the people in that country were led by a person that they were conditioned to believe was a living God, and that person got them into this mess with expansionism. Obviously, they did a lot of horrible things along the way, but I think that for the most part, people behaved last night. I am proud of us. I am proud. Like, I did not see any jokes about what could have been made when Trey Turner did what he did, and Kyle Schwarber did what he did. I'm glad. I am very glad. And I'm saying that from a serious standpoint. There were some people who were bad. The Braves mascot tweeted out, we just got animated, so they've been canceled. The Braves mascot, which is funny because you would think the Braves mascot has already been canceled given that the Braves do the tomahawk chop, like the Chiefs, at every single game. You would think that that would be, I don't know, something that would be done by now. It's not.
He's also like a blatant ripoff of the Philly Fanatic. Like I pulled up the Braves mascot. He looks like the Philly Fanatic.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
So he looks like
he's like a
Sesame
cartoon.
Street character that did a little too much meth?
Yeah. He has the big eyes. Yeah. Oh,
man.
He has the nose, a very similar nose. That's probably where they would lose the lawsuit.
Yeah, that probably would happen. Look, how do we get Shohei Ohtani to Houston? I still want to know. How can we do it in an unrealistic way? We got oil money, huh? We got oil money.
Buy some of those gold jerseys.
We'll talk about the gold jerseys later, but really quick take. The gold jerseys are ugly, and I think you're going to look bad if you buy one of them, and you're also going to have wasted a lot of money. It doesn't match. Guess what? You don't need to have a commemorative jersey for the Astros winning a World Series. They've won two. Just wear the regular Astros uniforms. Even the Space City uniforms are better than these gold-accented ones. Bring back the blue and gold jerseys from the 90s. They might do that. Bring back the Tequila Sunrise jerseys. They, I don't know, are going to do that. This is lame. Gold is not one of the Astros' primary colors. Stop doing this stuff. We get it. You want to sell jerseys. It's lame. It is. Oh, but this type of is a little bit different. The gold is like more muted. Shut up. Just stop. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call, to text as well. For all those upset about a certain team in town not being aggressive enough, you are factually wrong. You'll find out why next. It's the Paul Gallant Show.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Stand, hush.
We're tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. Well, not football quite yet. People are mad about my take about the Astros jerseys that they put out for sale. Shameless money grab that has a slight bit of gold in them. A slight bit. There's gold dust in the uniforms. It's an accent. Why would you buy this? I just don't understand. And look, I dress better than you, so I'm helping you out. Everyone accuses me of being metrosexual, sometimes gay. It's a compliment because I know that whenever I'm out and about, I look bleeping awesome. And I'm helping you out here. That jersey does not look good. It doesn't. It's not the true colors of the Houston Astros. It is the true colors of the Houston Astros of old. And guess what? Those throwback uniforms are better than the authentic jerseys of this team being accented with gold. They just are. If you think otherwise, you're wrong. This is not about takes. This is about right and wrong. I am right. I am the fashionista of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I am the best when it comes to this in town. No, I haven't started wearing turtlenecks. No, I have not tried to pull some sort of avant-garde fashion. I just wear awesome-looking sports stuff. Always. I've spent way too much money on it. This is why the credit card debt is a thing, because of how much I spend on the wardrobe. And I'm helping you out here. Don't waste money on that. Don't do it. It's dumb.
Well, but, you know, now people are going to ask me if it's like from the 2022 World Series or the 2017 World Series.
Stop. It doesn't even look that good. If there was authentic gold in it, that's different. If it was made of actual gold, okay, we'll have the conversation. That's just bleep you money. Then go ahead if you have it. It ain't. It's not an actual accent. I dress better than you. I'm helping you out, okay? Oh, Paul, you always wear tight jeans. It's in. Oh, Paul, your shorts are kind of short. That's also in. How are you guys not up to speed? Ugh. Anyway,
King of Twitch says Cody dresses better than Pauly.
Cody does wear a chain and he pulls it off.
Yeah, out of office Cody dresses well.
Out of office Cody dresses well, yeah. I don't think that for the most part, people of ESPN 97.5 outside of John Granato dress well on a regular basis here. And I'll admit, I mean, I've had my days too where I'm not looking so good. It's generally because I woke up late and didn't shower. But yeah, I didn't wake up late for a good reason today. I just woke up late. Anyway, hey, the NFL. Anyone who's upset with Nick Caserio and the Houston Texans for not being aggressive in free agency, I get it. There's no headline names. But did you know that the Texans have been active than all but two teams, more active than all but two teams in free agency? The only teams that have signed more players, the New England Patriots, the Miami Dolphins. The Texans have signed 14 guys. Now, are all of those guys headliners? No. But I like the Dalton Schultz signing. I like the Devin Singletary signing. I like the trade for Shaq Mason. Those three moves are good ones. After that, okay, we'll see what happens with Robert Woods. I'm pretty excited about Noah Brown. Not really excited. They brought in another guy on the offensive line yesterday. They signed former Dolphins center Michael Dieter to a one-year contract. He was a 2019 third-round pick from Wisconsin. He played at left guard at first to open his career with the Dolphins, but they moved him to center in 2021. He played all 17 games last year for the Miami Dolphins as a reserve. So he's coming in for a couple of plays here or there. At the very least, there's competition at the center position. I wouldn't make too much of it, but he played under Mike McDaniel, Bobby Slowick. Theoretically has a similar offense to him. And there you go. Jason McIntyre is Colin Cowherd's little, hey, I'm going to talk to you but not actually listen to you, sock puppet on his radio show, The Herd. And they were talking about the big contract that Laremy Tunsil got over the weekend. Jason McIntyre, some critical words for the Houston Texans and this decision.
I don't totally understand this move. They have a lot of holes to fill, Colin. Why are you making him the highest paid? Isn't the move to shop him and get back a bunch of picks?
Well, no, because you're drafting a quarterback, so you want to get the left tackle right.
You want to get the left tackle position right. Yeah, you want to keep Laremy Tunsil around long term. Yeah, I don't get what Jason McIntyre is saying here. This is a typical person who has followed the Jets most of their life mentality. Hey, let's trade the good player for draft picks. When you already have the good player. Dumb. They have so much cap space. Yeah, you should trade it for draft picks. What are you talking about? Anyway, Jason McIntyre continued on The Herd with more bad Texans takes.
That's a
big Damian Pierce is a good player.
He's good. He had one good season. There's not a lot of firepower on this team. Well, D'Amico Ryans has a lot of work to do. This is a house that you essentially gutted. You're tearing it down to the studs.
If they get Bryce Young and Jordan Addison, I'm just throwing it out there.
The
USC
smallest receiver and the smallest quarterback.
Yeah, but he's a great route runner. He's very polished, so he will.
I like him.
Damian Pierce is good. He's had one good year. Yeah, he was a rookie last year. Jason, stop. Just stop. Give up while you're behind. Unless the whole point of this show, sort of like if you took philosophy class and you read it, how I think it was Plato or Socrates or whatever, they're talking to like this one person who I'm pretty sure that they may have had relations with afterwards. And this was like them talking like after they had, you know, their fun, if you will. But it would be like these one-sided conversations, and that is what Cowherd generally does. McIntyre offers opinions, and this is why I generally do not respect the opinions from a football perspective of Jets fans. What are you talking about? Watch the actual games. Damian Pierce was awesome last year. Was he awesome all season long? No, but Pierce is actually a good building block. As far as the actual arsenal around this guy, yeah. Jason McIntyre wasn't done. Here is Jason McIntyre with some final thoughts on the Houston Texans and their ability to compete next year.
Well, I mean, look at that division.
It's not Houston. I'm looking around.
If
the AFC is loaded. Loaded. Yeah. I mean, the schedule is going to be
brutal. They got four games against low-scoring Tennessee and low-scoring Indy.
Fair.
They'll maybe be in those games. They took Kansas City to overtime last year.
One game.
Well, you play 17 individual
NFC
games.
If they play in the NFC, I think they would be in the mix to win like six games.
So there's Jason McIntyre for you. Jason McIntyre is one of my least favorite sports personalities. Anyway, probably a nice guy. Tans exceptionally well. We do give compliments where we give them out, but I just can't stand his football opinions. And he's one of many reasons that Jake Asman is the only football opinion of a Jets fan that I will listen to. Rich Eisen, no. Mike Greenberg, no. Jason McIntyre, hell to the bleeping no. The Texans did not go to the pro day of CJ Stroud. Some people are making a big deal about that. Honestly, I'm not. I feel like pro days are not something that you go to learn anything new about a quarterback in particular. We've seen how pro days have turned into a big deal over the last couple of years because of specific moments that happened in them. And then the guy maybe doesn't work out. Johnny Manziel is the most famous example of it. I don't think there's any need to go to an NFL combine. I don't think there's any need to go to a pro day. You can send your own guys there. What, you're going to determine whether or not you draft the guy based off of what happens at a pro day? And while we're on pro days, Cam Newton, former NFL MVP, hasn't been thought of as a possibility at quarterback for any team. And I believe over a calendar year, I don't think he played at all last year. Cam Newton was at Auburn's pro day and he threw. I saw some people on Texans Twitter speculating about whether or not the Texans should have signed Cam Newton instead of Case Keenum. There were some implications of racism with that. Guys, if you've watched Cam Newton over the last couple of years, and I did because he was the starting quarterback for my favorite team the year after they let Tom Brady walk, he just can't throw the ball the way that he used to. And I think Case Keenum, at this stage in his career, is a better player. Is he as dynamic as Cam Newton? No. But what if Cam Newton comes into a locker room that is full with a lot of young players who are all going to idolize him and they also draft a young quarterback? I don't think Cam Newton has accepted that there are so many quarterbacks in the NFL that are better than him. Remember there was that clip, I think, last year where he's on with Channing Crowder and he says, there aren't 32 quarterbacks in the NFL who are better than me. And, okay, I mean, I don't think he's right. I think the last we saw of him probably means that his career's done, which is a shame because when he was playing, he was awesome at his best. But is Case Keenum better than Cam Newton at this stage of his career? I feel like the correct answer, and there's no way to really do that comparison right now. You would have to have them both like play for an XFL team or a USFL team or something like that, right? But right now, I think that it's pretty likely that Case Keenum is better than Cam Newton.
At least to be a backup quarterback. Because like you said, like with what goes into being a backup is different than being a starter. So if they both started 16 games, like maybe, I mean, they probably would have pretty similar numbers. Cam Newton probably maybe a little bit better just because of what he can do with those legs. But then, what are we doing? Like, why do we need Cam Newton to be the backup quarterback to Bryce Young? Like, what's the actual purpose of that?
Exactly. And sometimes it's fun to throw out, I don't know, accusations of racism online, because it will get engagement from people that are actually on your side when it comes to that. But this is a weird, a little mini controversy that you're trying to create here. They should have signed Cam Newton, but they signed Case Keenum because they don't like black guys. Okay, cool.
It reminds me of the Carmelo Anthony after he got released by the Rockets, and people tried to like blame the Rockets for like besmirching the good name of Carmelo Anthony. And then he just didn't play for like the rest of that season.
Yeah.
And then he came back halfway through the next season. It's like, maybe these guys just aren't the same. Like, we can still like them from how good they were in 2015.
Correct. But
guess what?
Maybe
they're not the same guy anymore.
It's hard to maintain a level of excellence for your entire career. We hold it against some guys, and it's completely unfair to do so because Tom Brady was so damn good his whole career. Because LeBron James has been so damn good his whole career. It's unfair to hold the majority of athletes to the same standard as those two who were unicorns in when it comes to their ability to perform while up there in age. Shoot, I'd even say the same to an extent with Michael Jordan at the end. Now, I didn't watch the Wizards years. I didn't. I don't remember them very well because I just didn't watch the Wizards. God, those uniforms were so ugly when he came back, too. Oof. Should have been the Bullets. If you get Michael Jordan on the Washington Bullets, hell yeah, that's cool. Oh, name's canceled. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Yesterday, Willis Reed passed away. One of the most iconic moments in sports is when, with the New York Knicks, during the 1978-1979 finals, or maybe the 1979-1980 finals, comes back onto the court injured, scores his first two baskets of the game, and helped the Knicks win the actual title. It's got me thinking of some of the best moments in sports history where a injured player played through the pain. Talk about the worst, too. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Galacho on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Again, people not feeling my hot take on the Astros' gold jerseys that they are ripping you off with right now as being good. Paul, someone texts in, Paul, really? Mariners, Astros jersey? Yes, I'm a fashion icon. I pulled that off. Did I not create a stir? Was it not a lot like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? AOC's tax the wrist. Rich address? Was it not the same thing? I made a bold statement. Did it break the internet? Yes. Did it break your eyes? Maybe. But fashionistas like me, we know what's good, we know what isn't, and we also take risks. Okay. Another comment. This is in response to whether or not Case Keenum should be the Texans' backup quarterback as opposed to Cam Newton, because some online were saying that. It should be the other way around. There is no way in hell there are 32 quarterbacks in the NFL better than Cam Newton. It's probably more like 36 or 38. But
I will say, though, I don't disagree that if you were to say the 32 best quarterbacks don't start in the NFL, just because there's always five rookies that actually aren't that good.
Yeah, that's true.
Or first or second years guys who, this they're going to be their last year ever starting in the NFL. So you could, like, there is, I don't know which backup it is, but there is a backup that is probably the 32nd best quarterback in the NFL.
That's probably true. Yeah, I would agree with
Zach
you.
Zach Wilson was a day one starter last year.
Yeah,
he's
that's
like
true.
The 50th best quarterback.
That's true. Well, is he even the 50th best quarterback? That is another question. But anyway, no one cares about that. Yesterday was a sad moment in the sports world. Willis Reed passed away at the age of 80. He was the Rookie of the Year in 1965. MVP 1970, seven-time All-Star, five-time All-NBA selection, NBA's 50th and 75th anniversary team. On May 8th, 1970, New York was going to play Wilt Chamberlain and the Los Angeles Lakers in Game 7 of the NBA Finals. So I got the years wrong when I first said that. Sorry about that. He had missed Game 6 with a severe thigh injury, but right before the game, as called by Marv Albert, holy crap, this is 50-plus years ago. Here is Willis Reed's return to the court.
And I think we see Willis coming out.
There he comes right now. 6 feet 10 from Grambling.
the captain of the Knicks, the most valuable player of the NBA. Frazier then slows it down, is picked up by Jerry West at the top of the post. Reed. Willis Reed scores the first bucket here tonight. And Reed now is outside. There's his second shot. He is 2 for 2. Willis Reed.
Nothing like an old-time radio call. Crazy to think that Marv Albert was on that. So it's got me thinking about like the best playing hurt moments in sports history. We already had a text in, Kerry Strug. Do we get to claim Kerry Strug as Houstonian? I know my buddy over at the flagship, John Lopez, wrote a book about Kerry Strug. I know that I think there was talks about perhaps a movie about Kerry Strug. And you might remember her. She competed in, I think, in the 1992 Barcelona Olympics. But in 1996, I believe. I could be wrong. Maybe it was 1992. I read online that someone said it was 96. And I was like, wait a second. I thought it was 92. But anyway, Kerry Strug, in the 1996 Olympics, she was the last member of the U.S. gymnastics team to vault. She fell on her first vault attempt. She hurt her ankle. So on her second attempt, she had to land it perfectly to clinch the gold. She did it after limping to the runway, landed on one foot. So this is like straight out of Karate Kid with Daniel-san and the crane kick. At the very end, she got a score that was good enough to win the gold. And right afterwards, she collapsed to her knees and she's famously carried out. That was really awesome. So I think we get to claim Kerry Strug, right? Houston? Because she trained here. She's not from Houston, but she did train in Houston.
I think then we could claim like basically every gymnast. Because isn't there
Simone Biles?
Yeah, well, I think she's actually from Houston.
She actually is from Houston,
but
yes.
She trained at the same gym. Like the gym is like run by these old people that trained Kerry Strug all the way through. Like they basically trained every U.S. Olympic gymnastic.
100%. So she definitely up there. That's one of the cooler moments, because if you've ever watched gymnastics, I mean, my God. Landing after doing all those flips on two legs, that just hurts my knees looking at it. Can't even imagine landing on one leg. I don't care how young you are. That is ridiculous that she was able to do that. One of the toughest things I've seen. You also have Kirk Gibson in the 1988 World Series. He was the MVP award winner for the Dodgers that year, but he hurt both of his knees. So in the NLCS, he left the game with those knee injuries. And then they play the Oakland A's in the World Series. Dennis Eckersley, who's at the time one of the best pitchers in baseball, is facing Gibson with in the bottom of the ninth, one runner on base, two outs. Gibson comes out of the dugout, and this happened.
But the game right now is at the plate. High fly ball into right field. She is gone! In a year that has been so improbable, the impossible has happened.
Oh, boy. Great calls there, man. Was that Vin? Vin Scully. I think there's a Jack Buck call of that, too. Really cool stuff. Anyway, get you thinking about great moments in sports history where guys played through the pain. Some other ones. Patrick Mahomes, these past playoffs. I don't know how hurt that ankle was, but, I mean, he sure was limping, and he made some big plays on that. Phillip Rivers on a torn ACL in the 2008 AFC Championship game against the then undefeated Patriots. I actually went to that game. It was compounded by LaDainian Tomlinson being hurt in some way, shape, or form. And I'm sure it was a serious enough injury that he didn't play. But I remember thinking less of LaDainian Tomlinson because Rivers played. Probably an unfair standard to put on Tomlinson, a running back versus a quarterback still.
That was always my thing. It's like, well, I mean, he's a running back. He would have to run on
right.
Whatever injury he has.
The iconic photo is him with the giant trench coat and the helmet. And I think it's made worse by the fact that Tomlinson had talked trash about the Patriots after losing to them in the AFC Championship game the year before. He threw a little hissy fit because the Patriots started dancing the lights out dance on the logo because the Chargers were talking a lot of trash going into that game. The next year, the Patriots, after Spygate, absolutely skull-you-know-whatted the Chargers in week two. And Tomlinson had said leading up to the game, well, if you're not cheating, you're not trying to take shots at the Patriots. So, I don't know. Tomlinson's a Patriots enemy, and I didn't like him as a player because of that entirely. Curt Schilling's bloody sock Ronnie Lott, who mangled his right pinky, had it cut off in the offseason because he didn't want to get surgery. He regrets that, famously. Bad moments in not playing through the pain sports history. Paul Pierce in the wheelchair. That wasn't a good moment. It's funny in retrospect that he said, like, oh, well, I had to, you know, drop the kids off. Donovan McNabb puking in Super Bowl 39. J.D. Drew's entire career when he wasn't 100%. Another one. Anyway, the injuries we play through. The injuries we don't. Jack Youngblood. Junk. Bleh, I can't speak English in this section.
Junk.
I mean, shoot, we may as well play more audio in another language because I'm speaking in tongues right now. Jack Youngblood playing with a broken leg for the Pittsburgh Steelers. What a great football name, by the way. Jack Youngblood.
A lot of the guys from like the 70s, like Steelers and Cowboy, all those guys have like just insane names.
Yes, they do. Jack Ham.
Jack Ham, yeah.
Yeah.
Dick Butkus. I know he was a Bear, but Dick Butkus.
Oh man, there's another one I'm forgetting. But you're right. There were a lot of great names back in the day.
Mike Ditka, actually a very good
And his name was
too.
Mike, right? Yeah. I mean, that's pretty simple. How about it? Curly Lambeau?
Yeah. Bart Starr.
Red Grange, the Galloping Ghost. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Up next, it's okay to have double standards in sports. I got a couple of them. One of them involves Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout, but another one involves a person who made his dramatic return to the relevant sports world yesterday. Paul Galacho, ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. First, though, let me tell you about my friends at TGS Insurance. Because if you own your home, you got to listen up because you're probably paying a lot of money. Huh? I mean, I just had to fix my dishwasher the other day. That wasn't fun. You want to save some money along the way, right? Our friends at TGS Insurance Agency are about to deliver you big savings, and you won't even have to talk to an agent because you know you're paying too much for your home insurance. But if you don't shop for better rates, because why would you want to do that? Why would you want to do anything in life? You just want to sit on your couch and watch a television show you've seen a million times before while watching the World Baseball Classic at the same time. It's not a hassle anymore to switch thanks to TGS Insurance because they've built a new system that shops over 36 carriers and gives you a full quote in just 15 seconds using nothing but a single text message. You'll save a bunch of money along the way. So grab that phone, text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y to 232323. Their system will ask you for your address. You send it back, and you'll get your full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. This company and the savings are legit. Their online rating is nearly perfect, and their average customer from last year is saving over $870 on their home insurance. No one likes to shop for home insurance. No one likes to shop for anything. But TGS makes it the easiest it's ever been. You're one text message away from massive savings. So one more time, text MONEY to 232323 and get your home insurance quote and save big today.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.